Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Ghost Soldiers by Hampton Sides. Read for you by James Naughton. 14 December 1944. Puerto Princesa Prison Camp, Palawan, Philippines. All about them, their work lay in ruins. Their raison d'etre, the task their commandant had said would take them 3 months, but had taken nearly 3 years. 1,000 naked days of clearing, lifting, leveling, wheelbarrowing, hacking. 30-odd months in close, heavy heat, smashing rocks into smaller rocks, and smaller rocks into pebbles, hammering sad hunks of brain coral into bone-white flour with which to make concrete. Ripping out the black humus floor of the jungle, felling the gnarled beasts of mahogany or nara or camagong that happened to be in the way. Above the bay, in a malarial forest skittering with monkeys and monitor lizards, they had built an airstrip where none should be, and now they were happy to see it in ruins, cratered by bombs. 150 slaves stood on a tarmac 2,200 meters long and 210 meters wide, straining with shovels and pickaxes and rakes. Ever since the air raid started 2 months earlier, Lieutenant Sato, the one they called the Buzzard, had ordered them out each morning to fill the bomb pits, to make the runway usable again. This morning had been no different. The men had risen at dawn and eaten a breakfast of weevily rice, then climbed aboard the trucks for the short ride to the airstrip. As usual, they worked all morning and took a break for lunch around noon. But now the Buzzard said no lunch would be served on the strip, that instead the food would be prepared back at the barracks. The men were puzzled, because they'd never eaten lunch at their barracks before, not on a work day. It didn't make sense to drive back now, for they still had considerable repairing work to do. Sato offered no explanation. The prisoners crawled into their trucks again and took the bumpy serpentine road back to the prison. In the meager shade of spindly coconut palms, they ate their lunches squatting beside their quarters in an open-air stockade that was secured with 2 barbed wire fences. The entire compound was built at the edge of a cliff that dropped 50 ragged feet to a coral beach, splashed by the warm blue waters of Puerto Princesa Bay. Around 1 p.m., the air raid alarm sounded. It was nothing more than a soldier pounding on an old Catholic church bell, splotched with verdigris. The men looked up and saw 2 American fighters, P-38s, streaking across the sky. But the planes were moving away from the island and were too high to pose a danger. Having become discriminating appraisers of aerial threat, the prisoners ignored the signal and resumed their lunches. A few minutes later, a second air raid alarm sounded. The men consulted the skies and this time saw an American bomber flying far in the distance. They didn't take the alarm seriously and kept on eating. Presently, a third air raid alarm sounded, and this time Sato and a few of his men marched into the compound with sabers drawn and rifles fixed with bayonets. Sato insisted that everyone heed the signal and descend into the air raid hovels. "They're coming," he shrieked. "Planes, hundreds of planes." Again, the men were puzzled, and this time suspicious. When planes had come before, Sato had never registered any particular concern for their safety. Many times they'd been working on the landing strip when American planes had menaced the site. The Japanese would leap into their slit trenches, but made the prisoners work until the last possible minute. "Hundreds of planes," Sato shouted again, with even more urgency. "Hurry!" The slaves moved toward the air raid shelters. They were primitive, nothing more than narrow slits dug 4 feet deep and roofed with logs covered over with a few feet of dirt. There were 3 main trenches, each about 100 feet long. On both ends, the structures had tiny crawl space entrances that admitted one man at a time. Approximately 50 men could fit inside each one, but they had to pack themselves in with their knees tucked under their chins. Sato was behaving strangely today, the prisoners thought. But perhaps he knew something. Perhaps a massive air attack was indeed close at hand. All the signs pointed to the imminent arrival of the American forces. The tide of the war was turning fast. Everyone knew it.